This is Ronald Coleman, inviting you to radio's most dramatic half hour, Favorite Story. During the course of this Favorite Story series, we've brought you many famous titles by famous authors. But this is an exception. I'll wager 3-1 you've never heard of the story we're going to tell you now. But I'll wager 10-1 that you'll never forget it. The man who wrote this story is a French doctor named Maurice Lavelle, a well-known sportsman, patriot, war hero, a distinguished brain surgeon, and, by way of a hobby, a writer. Now, this Dr. Lavelle is quite a psychiatrist, an authority on that thin line which separates sanity from madness. And this Favorite Story takes place exactly on that borderline, that razor-sharp division between the crazy man and you. The story is called The Debt Collector, and it was chosen by one of your favorite movie stars, Van Johnson. Dr. Lavelle wrote this story originally in French, but somehow we thought you'd enjoy it more if we translated it into English. And in so doing, we've transferred the locale from Paris to New York City. Are you ready for a thriller? All right, here it is. Van Johnson's favorite story, The Debt Collector. Act One.
Hey. Hey. Can you hear me? Good. Most people can't. You see, I'm not exactly alive. I'm not exactly dead either. It's pretty hard to figure out just what I am. Let me put it this way. I can see, hear, and think. But other people can't see or hear me. It's an interesting condition. Handy sometimes. It's handy when you want to wander up and down through a place like Manhattan Island. Couple of million people batting their brains out between the Staten Island ferry slips and Harlem. But nobody knows anybody else. Not really. But with me, it's different. I can be with them when they think they're alone. I can walk the beat with a copper down on Pell Street. Or I can be with a waitress at Child's when she gets off work and meets her boyfriend for a stroll in Central Park. Or I'm there, maybe, when a tough cab driver is crying on his steering wheel because his wife left him. It's hard to figure people right off. Take that guy in the gray double-breasted suit, that fellow walking up Madison Avenue between 23rd and 24th Street. How would you figure him? He seems happy enough from the way he's whistling. Would you say he looks prosperous? At first glance, you might think so, but notice his shirt collar. Isn't it a little frayed? And aren't his shoes a trifle run down at the heels? Where do you think he's going? Goes into that office building, walks down the corridor to a frosted glass door, puts his hand on the doorknob, hesitates, looks around the hallway.
Bailey?
Yes, sir?
Where have you been? You're late.
I'm sorry, sir.
Well, our business is built on punctuality, dependability. That's why people trust us.
You've told me that before, Mr. Payne.
Remember it. I have some collections here, Maley. I want you to take them to the Uptown branch. It's cash. $43,000.
Yes, sir.
It's all counted out. Large denominations, mostly. Ask the cashier at the Uptown branch to give you a receipt.
Yes, sir. Oh, Mr. Crane, there's one thing I'd like to know.
Well?
Do you mark these bills?
Mark them?
Yeah, do you write down the serial numbers in case the money should be stolen?
Why should money be stolen? We hire only dependable people. Why do you think you've been with us all these years, Maley?
I know, sir. Dependability.
Now we see the same man walking down the same street with the same frayed collar and the same run-down heels. Take a good look at him. Would you ever guess that he had $43,000 in that yellow leather briefcase? $43,000. Maley, just a moment. He said distinctly that you were to take the money to the Uptown branch. Why are you going downtown?
Yes, sir?
Excuse me. I want to inquire about leaving something in your vault for safekeeping.
Well, we have safe deposit boxes for that purpose. They may be rented on a monthly or a yearly basis.
Well, I'll need a safe deposit box for about 10 years. I'll pay in advance.
That really isn't necessary. We can send you a statement.
No, that won't be practical. You see, I'm going away on a long trip.
I understand.
What's the procedure for claiming the contents of a safe deposit box?
We make the identification by name and signature.
Now, when I want to claim the box, I simply sign my name in your presence?
That's correct. I'll compare the signature with the one you give me now. In that way, we can identify you as the owner of the contents of the box.
Uh-huh. And no one can touch the box without writing that signature?
Not even the president of our bank.
That's good. That's fine. I want to deposit this parcel, please. No, don't open it.
What?
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to raise my voice. The parcel just contains something very personal, see?
I understand, sir. In what name shall I register this?
Shackleton.
Shackleton.
S-H-A-C-K-L-E-T-O-N. Shackleton. Jonathan R. Shackleton.
But Mr. Crane called you Maley. M-A-L-E-Y. Which are you, anyway? Do you think they aren't going to find out? Do you think they aren't going to miss that $43,000?
Crane speaking. What? It should have been there hours ago. $43,000. I sent one of the boys with it, Dick Maley. Oh, something must have happened to him. You'd better call the police. I'll ring his apartment. Check with me later. Right.
Phone's ringing, Maley. Aren't you going to answer it? Might be important. Might be Mr. Crane. Or it might be the police wondering if you mislaid something. Oh, let it ring, Maley. That's right. Take a good long look at yourself in the mirror. Pretty sharp. That's new shirt, isn't it, Maley? Good night, Maley. Or should I call you... What was that other name?
Got those early in the morning, deep down in the evening blues. I've got those early in the morning, deep down in the evening blues.
You come, baby.
And when those blues done come and get you, they're mighty, mighty hard to lose.
What's the big idea? Maley.
Sang that song very pretty, baby.
You're hurting my arm.
Go tell the manager you've done your last number for tonight. We got us a big date, just you and me.
Sorry, Maley. I've had enough of your big date. Besides, I go on again right after this number.
I say you don't go on again.
Hey, where do you get off talking to me like that, you two-bit messenger boy?
That's all over, baby. Maley is through with those quarters and dimes. You listen to me, baby. This is my last night to have a good time, see? And I want to have it with you.
What if I've got other plans?
I just made your plans for tonight, baby. I'll be waiting for you in the lobby. Get your coat.
What'd you want to come down here for? I was having a wonderful time doing this spot. Sure. Maybe you want to treat me to a swim in the East River.
It's not a bad idea, baby. Of course, you have to teach me how to swim.
You know something, Maley? You're crazy.
Am I?
Yeah, you're crazy, Maley. Any guy who'd take a date to the Queensboro Bridge is a little bit off his rocker. What do you see out there, Maley? What are you looking at?
What are you looking at, Maley?
A river. A city. Two cities. And a bridge in between. You know, baby, when I was a kid, I lived on the wrong side of this river. The Delt side. I lived out there where they make islands out of garbage. You can never get the smell of rotten orange peel out of your living room. I used to stand right here by the bridge and look across the river at the Waldorf Towers. Big place. Bridges are hard to get across, baby. You don't just get on a trolley or put a nickel on a turnstile.
What are you talking about, Maley? You live in Manhattan.
Yeah. But I never got away from the garbage smell.
She doesn't know what you're talking about, Maley. Say, why don't you brag to her? Tell her about the safe deposit box.
Baby, I've hit the jackpot.
You have?
You're going to hear some funny things about me, some lies. But I got a fortune, baby. Right where I can put my fingers on it. My fingers only.
Your fingers only, Maley. Not even the president of the bank can touch that box. Why not keep it that way? If you brag, it could spoil this thing. You might be sorry later.
How did you get the money, Maley?
Didn't you know? It grows on trees. All you have to do is reach up and pick it off.
Maley, there's a cop over there. They must be looking for you. They've missed the money by now, and if you're caught, you know what'll happen. They'll lock you up 5 years, if you're lucky. That cop's walking this way. He's coming right towards you.
Hello, officer.
Hi.
Nice night.
That's all right. Say, you folks better be getting off the bridge. They close this level at midnight, you know.
Thanks.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks a lot. Good night.
Hey.
Oh, officer.
Yeah?
Thought maybe you might be looking for me. My name is Maley.
Did you ever hear of the Grand Guignol in Paris? It's up in the Montmartre district. A little theater where they do nothing but horror plays, in which most of the actors usually wind up in an acid bath. Well, Maurice Lavelle, who wrote this week's favorite story, is considered more or less the William Shakespeare of the Grand Guignol. He's really the past master of the subtle horror story, as you're soon going to find out in the second act of The Debt Collector. Our erstwhile hero, Richard Maley, has just stolen $43,000 from his employer. And, surprisingly enough, has promptly turned himself over to the police. Would you like to know why? Then keep right on listening to Van Johnson's favorite story.
You're Richard Manley.
That's right, sir.
The state's appointed me attorney on your behalf. I want to get the facts straight. You're accused of stealing $43,119.84 from your employer, the J.D. Crane Collection Agency. How do you want to plead?
Guilty.
Oh? Well, where's the money now?
I don't know. I had the money in my briefcase, but instead of taking it to the uptown branch where I was supposed to take it, I got on the subway to go home. Yeah. Well, in the subway jam, somebody just took my briefcase away from me, and well, when I got out of the crowd, all I had in my hand was an empty leatherette bag. Somebody must have substituted it for my briefcase.
Well, you know, of course, we can check up on that story. Huh?
Oh, of course you can. I know. You can search my room, my desk at the office, my clothes, everything.
Now, look, Maley, I can't help you if you lie to me. You...
myself up, didn't I? I stole the money. Yes, I admit that. But I was robbed less than an hour later.
Will you swear to that in court?
I have no idea where that money is. That's the truth, sir. I'll swear to it by everything I hold sacred.
That gives a pretty good idea, Maley, about how much you hold sacred. I wonder who stole that money from you. Do you suppose it was the fellow who gave a phony name when he got a safe deposit box? I'm beginning to see why you wanted to pay for that box for such a long time in advance. It's all beginning to make pretty good sense now.
The prisoner will stand to hear the sentence of this court. You have entered a plea of guilty to a charge of theft and embezzlement. The court, however, recognizes a recommendation of leniency in view of the fact that this is a first offense. I hereby sentence the prisoner to penal servitude for a period of 5 years.
What are you grinning for, Maley? Did you get off easier than you expected? You'll miss the ball games and the dances and the movies. But think how much you'll be making while you're there. $43,000, clear profit. That's $8,500 a year, tax-free and all yours, in return for spending 5 years as a non-paying guest of the state of New York. How many guys are smart enough to put away $43,000 in 5 years?
Hey. Do you recognize that guy in the double-breasted suit walking down Madison Avenue between 23rd and 24th Street?
Sure, that's our boy. I lost your suntan, haven't you, Maley? A couple weeks in Bermuda will fix that. You can afford it. Feels pretty good to be free again, doesn't it? Oh, you're going to the bank, are you, Maley? I wonder what for.
Yes?
Excuse me, I want to claim the contents of a safe deposit box.
Certainly. If you'll just sign your name here, I'll compare it with a signature on the identification card. There's a fountain pen right there in the stand.
Yes, I know.
What's the name? I said, what is the name, sir?
Hey, Maley, the girl wants to know what name you gave for the safe deposit box.
What's
the matter? Did it slip your mind?
Your name, sir.
She's looking at you very strangely. Well, you can't blame her. It does seem a little peculiar that a fellow doesn't remember his own name.
I'm sorry, sir. There are people waiting. Unless you care to give me your name, I can't give you access to the safe deposit box.
Oh, that's bad. You'll have to think of that name or she won't give you your money.
Why... I suppose you think this is silly, but I've had a little lapse of memory. I'll be right back.
Yes, sir. Who's next, please?
I'd like to get into my safe deposit box.
Better sit down a minute, Maley. Clear your head.
Got to get this thing straightened out.
I've got to get this thing straightened out.
Now, start at the beginning.
I know the name.
What? You came up to that same window, up to that same girl 5 years ago. You gave her the money to put in the vault in the safe deposit box, and you signed a name on a card. She's got it there in her file. Now, what was that name?
What was the name?
It was sort of an unusual name, wasn't it? Sort of a long one, 3 or 4 syllables. What letter did it begin?
F. F. It began with an F.
F, Maley?
Oh. Oh, but it was an S. Stanton or Skipman or something like that.
Well, what was the first name? Maybe you can get it that way.
It was a biblical name. Jeroboam?
No.
Joshua?
Mm-hmm.
Jonah? Jonathan. That was it. Jonathan.
Was that it, Maley? Are you sure?
Jonathan.
Absolutely, positively sure?
What if it doesn't come? What if I never think of a name?
Oh, won't that be a pity? President of the bank can't even get to that money without signing the name. It's only a few feet away from you.
Just behind the grill and through that metal door.
Your money is in there, Maley. That woman's going in, see? She signs her name, and they unlock the door, and in she goes. It's as easy as that when you know the name. Simple as 1, 2, 3.
No, I got to go about this systematically. Get a telephone book, that's it, a New York telephone book. Right straight through it. I'll come to the name. I'll come to the name. I'll find it. Say, hey. Aaron. Aaronson. Arant. Abba. Abak. Abachrome. Abadi. Abadi and Abilene.
Abba. 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 Oh, this is dumb, Maley. You'll get so punchy looking at all those names, you'll never find it.
Abachrome. Abadi. I've got to think of it. I've got to get that name.
Did you write it down anyplace? No, you were too smart for that, weren't you, Maley? Did you tell anybody? You wanted to brag about it, remember? You were going to tell the girl about it, the nightclub singer.
At the club? I told her. She knows. She knows the name.
I've got those early in the morning, deep down in the evening blues. I've got those early...
Stop the music! Stop it!
Maley, good Lord!
What is it, baby? The name, what is it?
What are you talking about, Maley? What name?
You know the name. The name I gave at the bank for the safe deposit box. What is it?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Baby, you got to help me. You can't do this to me.
What are you talking about, Maley?
What's the name? What's the name?
What's the name? Maley, get out of here! Get out!
Rumpelmeyer, Toppenetti, Scaparelli.
You are crazy, Maley, crazy as a bat.
Sherry Netherland, Park Central, St. Regis.
It wasn't the name of a hotel, Maley. It was just an ordinary name, a plain, ordinary, everyday name.
I'll think of it. I've got to think of it.
No, Maley, it's gone. You'll never think of it.
I will.
The money will lie there in that bank vault until it's covered over with gray mold. Your money. But you won't be able to get it because you can't think of the name. Why not forget the whole thing? Enjoy yourself. You used to like this view from Queensboro Bridge. Used to stand here when you were a kid and dream of crossing over to the other side, to Park Avenue and Beekman Place. But bridges are hard things to get across, aren't they, Maley? What are you looking down into the water for, Maley? See your reflection down there in the moonlight? It's a long way down there, Maley. Must be 100 feet straight down. Oh, I wouldn't climb up on the railing like that. If I were you, fella might fall off.
It's deep down there, and you can't swim, remember?
Careful, Maley. You'll lose your balance. Careful!
Shackleton! The knife! I got it! Help! I remember it! Jonathan R. Shackleton!
Poor Richard Maley, rest in peace. A surprising story, isn't it? And any one of us who has ever tried to remember a forgotten name knows exactly how Maley must have felt. We've had a distinguished cast in the studio for this favorite story. Our invisible narrator was Tom Tully, whose face and voice are familiar to you in many fine motion pictures. Tony Barrett played Richard Maley. Tony was brought to Hollywood some time ago because of his startling resemblance to the late Rudolph Valentino. He has stayed on here to make a fine name for himself in both motion pictures and radio. Claude Sweeten composed and conducted the music with a slight assist from Anton Dvorak. As always, Jerome Lawrence and Robert E. Lee wrote and directed Favorite Story. Van Johnson, who chose The Debt Collector, will soon be seen in another motion picture for Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, the studio which brings to the screen so many of your favorite stories. Next week, a delightful and fantastic half hour. Jonathan Swift's great satire, Gulliver's Travels. You're going to meet an amazing assortment of thumb-sized characters, including General Glumbuck, Admiral Flimnap, and His Royal Highness Galbasto Malialigo, Scourge of the Universe. Yes, we're all going to travel into the tiny kingdom of the Lilliputians. It's the favorite story of one of motion pictures' top-flight actors, Academy Award winner Ray Milland. Gulliver's Travels is a very special treat, so we hope you'll be listening.